We've had a question come in from our live audience, Dr. Ortved, that dovetails in nicely with our next question from our registered questions. Dan says, given the number of structures that can cause pain in the foot, is it finally time to kill the term navicular syndrome? So our next question is from Gloria in Massachusetts, and she wanted to know, is there a difference between navicular syndrome and navicular disease? And I was just going to add to that that I've been practicing saying podotrichosis all week so that I wouldn't trip over it today in the event, because that is a term that we're hearing, as well as caudal heel pain. Are there trocheolitis, a different form of that podo Latin root? So what's going on? What's our terminology? What does it all mean?
We're in a difficult spot right now, because it's definitely the terminology has changed pretty significantly, and that all ties into how I mentioned in the past 10 to 15 years, we understand this entire entity a lot better. So it used to be navicular disease sort of grabbed everything that was identified in a horse that had foot pain that blocked, traditionally blocked to the foot. So radiographs or X-rays can identify issues in the navicular bone itself, but really can't identify any other pathology or any other injury in that area. We went to caudal heel pain because it was a little bit more encompassing. The low block that we do to the foot blocks out the back of the heel, which is where the navicular bone sits, but again, it's where a lot of other structures sit. So caudal heel pain sort of it brought all those structures into play. More recently, people have been using the term podotrichosis, or podotrichiitis, or podotrochlear syndrome. And really, you mentioned it earlier, it's the Latin root for describing the foot and the apparatus, the podotrochlear apparatus in the foot. And that is, it is more of a proper or all-encompassing medical term for the condition. Navicular syndrome, navicular disease is still considered an acceptable form of communication between people to kind of describe what's going on. But the podotrichosis sort of does a better job of including all the other things. And so when I say including all the other things, the navicular bone itself can absolutely be the sole culprit, and can have significant degeneration in the bone, and that's what we can absolutely see on X-rays. The other structures that play a huge role in this area is the deep digital flexor tendon comes down the back of the leg and wraps around the back of the navicular bone and inserts on the coffin bone. The navicular bone is also supported by the impar ligament that comes off the bottom of it and attaches to the coffin bone. We have the navicular bursa that sits between the navicular bone and the deep digital flexor tendon. We have ligaments that support the navicular bone on either side, the collateral ligaments of the navicular bone. And then the navicular bone itself has cartilage on both sides. It's part of the coffin joint. And then on the other side, on its backside, it has cartilage that where the deep digital flexor tendon runs. So I mentioned that disease can occur in the bone itself, and it can degenerate from the wear and tear, likely of the deep digital flexor tendon and the pressure it puts on it. But we can also get injuries to the deep digital flexor tendon itself, which is quite common. And we can get injuries to all those other structures I mentioned, the impar ligament, the collateral ligaments of the navicular bone, the coffin joint itself. So the navicular bursa can just be inflamed. All of those things can happen individually, or they can happen together. And that's sort of where that whole podotrichosis comes into play, as far as capturing all of the different things that could possibly occur.
Okay. And so did that original use of the word navicular just have to do with that's what we could see in radiographs before we had other imaging modalities?
Yeah, exactly. So we used to, and radiographs are our go-to, our first go-to. They give us a lot of information on bone. Unfortunately, they don't give us any information on the soft tissues or the cartilage. So you can have a significant problem in the foot, and we know that we have a significant problem because the horse is lame and it blocks to the foot, but the x-rays can, in a lot of cases, be normal. So with the advent of MRI and the more widespread use, that's where that greater understanding of this entire syndrome has come from, because we were able to image all of the soft tissues, the joints, the cartilage in some cases. So we can see these horses that we used to say, oh, you definitely have navicular disease, your x-rays just aren't so bad. Now we're looking at it and we're saying, oh, those horses that we thought had navicular disease actually have a tear in their deep distal flexor tendon that we never appreciated before we had MRI. So MRI has had a huge role in our understanding of this syndrome and definitely in our treatment, our targeted treatment of the syndrome. So it's sort of revolutionized podotrochiosis or navicular syndrome or whatever you want to call it, but it's played a huge role in that.